Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dr. Daniel Zangrilli will enter the studio momentarily as we get ready to talk a little Pirates. And you know what's first on my mind is O'Neill Cruz and what happened last night. Heaney has started to regress as well. Yes?
Yeah, he's coming back to earth after that incredible April.
So is Bailey Falter. And you know how it goes with the Pirates. Once, you know, once the hitting picks up a little, the pitching starts to go down.
it's
the same thing almost every year. We know the story and how it goes. Do you think Mitch Keller is going to be dealt?
I think the probability is less likely that he's dealt. I think, like, if I had to put a percentage on, do I think that he's going to get traded, it would probably be at 40%.
I'd say
there's a 60% chance that he's not.
Then let's do quick percentages.
Sure.
Brian Reynolds getting traded.
Five. He's not getting dealt.
Dan, would you like to join in this exercise?
Sure. Hello, is this Dan. A game of association of some kind?
No? Yes. We're giving percent chance the following player gets traded by the deadline. Are you ready?
Yes.
He said Mitch Keller's what?
40%.
I say Mitch Keller would be 48% to get traded. Dan?
I'm going to go 25.
Brian Reynolds, he says 5%?
5.
I say 10%.
I'll say 15.
Holy ostrich milk.
Well, that's not that much if you think
it's
about it.
Higher than 5 and 10. In fact, it's both of those combined. It's interesting. Key Brian Hayes, limits?
10.
20.
I don't think anybody's going to take him.
20%.
40.
Ooh.
Holy bird oil. 40%.
Why not?
Talk about that for a moment.
Why don't you want to get off that money?
Of course I do. But can they? Will they?
Well, you might have to give something else.
A little sweetener.
Pair it with
Bednar.
Maybe. I think you might be, again, it sounds like they want to do some bigger deals. Not that I've heard that directly. I'm just trying to decipher from the GM's radio show on Sunday.
Right.
Ability to get better very quickly. That typically takes bigger type of splashes and deals that move a lot of different pieces around.
David Bednar, limits?
This might be way out of left field, but I think 70% chance.
I think
it's very possible.
50.
I'll take the middle. I'll go 60.
Who was it? Micah McHenry. Do we have the clip from McHenry the other day to play for Dan, or should we just paraphrase?
Let's just paraphrase. He basically said, Dan, that David Bednar, and he knows that David Bednar would take an extension here, and basically a
hometown discount.
We'll take a discount to be here.
He said,
yes.
I think he would take a hometown discount to stay, and then McHenry quickly said, I know he would take a hometown discount to stay.
Sure,
does that
would
play into it?
Yeah, I don't. Does that play into it? No, because he's a reliever at the end of the day.
But money always plays into it.
It does.
You could have a reliever at a discounted rate.
No, you just go get relievers. You find the next Dennis Santana. You sign Caleb Ferguson for $3 million. And if you really want Aroldis Chapman, then you'll pay $10 million on a one-year deal for it. And then you cobble together your bullpen year over year. And you construct it with controllable guys. Very rarely, and I think it's a silly thing to do, regardless of how good the reliever is. I mean, did they do much of that with Mark Melancon? No. Did they do much of that with Jason Grilli? No. Did they do much of that with Tony Watson? No, they didn't. Because you can cobble together a bullpen on the cheap. We're talking about roles where arms need to get three outs. And unfortunately, to invest 3-4 years guaranteed into somebody, regardless of whether or not they give you a hometown discount, which is wonderful, it would be great to have David Bednar be a one uniform guy, a one cap guy, one helmet guy, but he's a reliever at the end of the day. He's a closer at the end of the day, sure, but you can, they're not commodities. I hate to say it so plainly and curtly and to be so awful about it, really. But you're not going to give somebody 3-4 years.
Limits, did I do the 50-minute mark at the end of that hour? Or no?
Yes.
Now I'm having horrible flashbacks.
Yes, okay. You did.
Thank you. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Presented by Sheetz. Parents, coaches, if your 12 and under team has games on June 28th or July 5th, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register, and the Fan can make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. IKF, percent chance he's traded. Limits?
80.
95.
I'll go 99.9. I would love to actually see the Pirates re-sign him. I'm sure when he hits the open market, he would want and probably can get a 4-year deal. I'd go 2-3 on IKF. I think he's a really valuable player. I think he fits nicely on a winning team. And, you know, if you're not a winning team, he can also still play the position as he is right now every day. I would love to see them explore an extension, but I just don't see how he fits in or him wanting to engage right now in something like that. He wants to hit the open market probably and seek that 4-year deal because he's only he's late 29, about to turn 30 years old. So he can go out and he can get that one big chunk. And I don't think the Pirates are in a position to want to sign him for beyond 2 years.
I agree with the idea of trying to sign him, though. I agree with you on that. He's the perfect utility guy.
Absolutely.
And he could help, you know, bridge the way to Connor Griffin here as well. He's a nice guy to have around. You just don't want, you know, as I've always said, they have more utility men than Duquesne Light, Dan. Every single guy plays 9 positions, which brings us to Tommy Pham. How percent chance that he's going to get traded, Limits?
Well, traded or DFA'd, I'm going to say 70.
I'm going to say 100.
Well, yeah, if we're going to talk, 100% he's not here.
Yes.
by which avenue
right.
he is exported off of the Pirates roster remains to be seen. Ideally traded, and perhaps he can, over these next 3 weeks, fluff up his value with the proper prescription for contact lens.
Right.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. He seems to have had a couple of good games. Dennis Santana.
I actually think right around 50%. I think they would be okay keeping Santana, especially if they move Bednar and make Santana the closer.
I'm going to say 58%, Dan.
I'm going to go 54.5.
Very interesting. Adam Frazier.
90% chance. He's starting to hit the ball a lot better. Somebody could use his bat in the middle of their in the middle infield.
84%.
101.
These guys as good as gone.
Yeah, I mean, they're on expiring contracts. There's no rule saying that, by the way, you can't re-sign Frazier or even IKF in the offseason. Just
right.
Because they're traded away to a contender, perhaps as a rental, doesn't mean that the Pirates can't have a seat at the table and re-engage sometime in December.
Did you do post-game last night?
I did.
What was it like? Who did you talk to? What was the reaction to Cruz, and what's your opinion of it?
I mean, John Wehner was spectacular, as he usually is. Very insightful stuff, and then it got more philosophical for the entire Pirates organization as to how do you create a culture where this type of stuff just isn't even on the table. It's not even in the equation. It's not even an option for you to consider as a player. So, you know, I'm not so much ticked off as I am disappointed in O'Neill Cruz from the standpoint of the opportunity that he has right now that he's flushing away. And I don't know what is the impetus for all of it. Like, what is going on here? And Rock said it best. He has a chance to be one of the faces of the game. If you think about it, he's 6'7". He's got a $1 million smile. He is as marketable as anyone to defy that, you know, you can do anything. You can play shortstop. You can play center field. You're an exit velocity machine. Like, the chances, the opportunity, the money that he's just flushing away because of an inability to lock in. Is it maturity? Is it focus? Is it something even bigger than that? You hope not, but he is He is as talented as anybody in baseball. He's a 99th percentile athlete. When he's locked in, he channels Ohtani, he channels Judge with his ability. And that is the stuff you can't develop, you can't teach. And what a shame. Like, the biggest tragedy, right, in the sport or sometimes in life is wasted talent or opportunities.
Yeah.
Looking back in the rearview mirror, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Like, that's what we're living right now with this year. Is he learning from anything? There was a conversation. They've used the gentle hand. Now they're using a heavier hand, trying to coddle this guy along, everything to try to give him every opportunity to be his best self. I don't know who or what is falling short of this. I don't know. I don't know how they're going about it behind closed doors, but it is a shame that we've gotten to this point, and maybe it does change. Maybe, again, I think you try a public embarrassment, which essentially this is removing somebody in the middle of the game, being asked about it post-game, and then directly calling in to question and pointing to energy and effort. That's the last resort. Maybe once you finally get to that last resort, it does change things, and maybe that's the way you have to go about it, is publicly embarrass him. Maybe the next step is for some teammates to do that. Maybe the next step is for an altercation in the dugout. You try to avoid all of that sort of stuff. You try to take every other way forward before you get there, but
yeah,
sometimes I guess the ends will justify the means if it makes him better and if it locks him in.
Limits, you have a question?
Yeah, Dan, would you play him today? Like, is the lineup out? Would you, if you were Donnie Kelly, slot him in the lineup today? Because obviously we know that Paul Skenes has not gotten a lot of run support, and you're taking away an opportunity, at least we think, with Cruz being in the lineup. Maybe it helps them without him in the lineup, considering he hasn't been hitting.
So, and you're going up against, you know, 102 in Mizorowski, who's been incredible. I think if you're going to do that, Austin, I think you have to do it not only today, but you have to do it tomorrow. Like, if you're going to go in, go all in, and sit him down for a number of reasons. To unplug from the game, because it's just been a terrible June. They did that with Reynolds. It worked wonders. There are many instances, and I don't know if it would be applicable in Cruz's case where it would be successful. You get him off of his feet, right, for a day or two. But listen, Mets are in town. I'm sure he would like to. He tends to rise to the occasion, I think, against some of the bigger market clubs when
the
lights are bright. Yes.
Do you have the lineup?
I don't. Is he in it?
This is from an unofficial account, but the Pirates lineup, Frazier, could this be right? Frazier leading off, Reynolds, Horwitz, Gonzalez, Cruz, Pham, Triolo, Davis, Kiner, Falefa.
So Cruz is four?
Five.
Five. Interesting.
Yeah. So dropped in the lineup.
But still in the lineup.
But still in the lineup.
Well, I mean, maybe that's worse. I mean, you know, if we're going to talk about a heavy hand here, this might be a fist. You know what I mean?
And, it might be.
You know, so that, I didn't.
I'm assuming this kid, this fireballer, is he a lefty?
No, he's right. He's right-handed.
He's a righty?
He is.
Holy bird mouth
so,
limits.
I mean, I didn't have option C there. That might be, that's pretty brilliant, actually. Donnie doesn't screw around.
Well, he did kind of by not taking immediate action on Cruz with the Texas center field debacle.
Well, and I think it's one of those things where you give a guy an opportunity,
yeah,
you know, with that soft hand, and then again you hold the other one behind your back, knowing that if you cross him again, it's, you know.
I do hear that.
Not to steal a term out of the news here over the last 72 hours, but total obliteration, right?
I want to see the Pirates actually tweet this. Why can't I find the Pirates official account? You limit?
They just have not posted it yet.
Give me a second.
Well, then how do other people
have it? Well, because the lineup can be posted and the media can see it, but yet the Pirates have not officially tweeted.
I don't even know if these are official media people who tweeted it.
Why did you go with it?
I told you right from the beginning it was an unofficial account.
What account is it? Call him
I don't
out.
Know. Some guy. How would he know, by the
some
way?
Some guy. MLB Scoops has it, Dan. They're the ones that put it out there.
They did?
No, I'm just throwing out random accounts.
Give me a second. I'll find it.
He'll find it.
I have a portal.
I could be totally wrong. The game starts in 2 hours. Why aren't we...
Give me a second. Just hold tight.
Don't they have the lineup usually by now?
Everybody relax.
Usually MLB.com will have it, so let me look.
Yeah, it's correct. Frazier, Reynolds, Spence with Gonzalez, Cruz is hitting fifth in center field. Pham in left, Triolo, Davis, Ikea.
And the Pirates just tweeted it out.
By the way, I like, and I heard somebody else say this, I think Greg Brown yesterday, say that he likes Cruz lower in the lineup. So do I. He's not a leadoff guy. It's too much. He leads the league in strikeouts. You can't have that guy be your leadoff guy.
I've been saying that for a long time. I argue with Noah Hyles about this.
The Noah Constrictor.
I did, and he's, you know, and my argument was coming at a bad time when they moved him to the one spot of the order, and that really seemed to get him going, and he was starting to go off, and I said, all right, well, I'm going to leave well enough alone. It's working. Sure, there's plenty of reason to like him. It extrapolates some big-time base running value out of him. You get somebody on for Reynolds.
Yeah.
You open up that right side of the infield. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like him atop the batting card, but I really wanted to see Joey Bart hit third at the time, Cruz hit four, because I think that protection with Bart could do him some wonders for him to be able to drive the baseball. I think Cruz can be a great protector for others and lengthen this lineup. So Kutch getting a day off his feet, sounds like. So that's the...
Yes, he is. Let's get back to the Noah Constrictor, if you don't mind.
Sure.
His two questions for Don Kelly last night were tremendous and evoked the... Kelly was very measured and, you know, not irritated, it didn't seem at all, with his responses.
Matter of fact, actually.
Matter of fact. That contrasted greatly to when the Noah Constrictor went after Shelty for why Rowdy Tellez was now an everyday reliever.
I don't know what we're going to do with Bednar right now, Noah. Probably a little fresh. A little fresh.
Play the rest of that.
Probably a little fresh.
There was a second part that I really want Dan to hear. Not that he's never heard it before. Here we go.
All right, here it is.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
It's 11 to nothing, Dan.
Well, that was one of the great back and forths in Noah Constrictor history.
I don't think he'd say that.
I actually liked it because Shelton, you know, he got a little irritated and we just wanted to see him get irritated. But the part that I was, you don't have to ask that.
Yeah.
That was the worst part for me in him not getting it. Yeah, you do have to ask
it. You do have to ask it.
You're going to be asked that. Accept it. You can be frustrated. You can say whatever you need to say and respond however you want to respond. You can be ticked at the person for asking it, sure, but having an expectation that would not be asked is
right.
That means you just don't really understand what the job entails.
Right. A little odd to see your first baseman as an everyday reliever. Dan, when do you have to go now?
I'm on the air at 1.
Where?
On location. Our good friends at Julian Gray Associates. They're having us.
So when do you need to leave? Give me a time.
No,
now?
It's okay. They're right down the road. They're okay. On Green Tree Road. Wonderful
people.
Oh,
they're on Green Tree Road. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play for Dan another little treat. This was Greg Brown dropping a little bit of a bombshell here with the Mulsey show yesterday, Dan. Listen to this.
I get the sense Ben Cherington is looking to do something big, talking to him on Sunday on that radio show. He discounted the idea. I mentioned, maybe nothing just needs a tweak. And he didn't really want to use that word. And he also talked about not trying to trade for a rental. So I think something's brewing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think he's going to pull a trigger on something.
How big? How do you define big, Dan?
Well, that's what we were saying when we were talking about Hayes. I mean, that he's gone and my percentages were what they were, because I think that he's got to retool this thing and figure out that, okay, I've got the pitching. I can probably sacrifice a little pitching, which is going to be the ask on the other end of the phone.
Yes.
But I also have to maybe get off a little bit of money if I want to extend Cruz, if I want to even have a puncher's chance at Paul Skeens. You know, there's some things that are standing in the way to that end. And, you know, I have some controllable relievers.
Yes.
And for this year, if you have to kind of melt down your bullpen, which I think can be rebuilt pretty quickly, easily, affordably, then maybe you trade both Santana and Bednar. Maybe it's probably a three-way deal of some respect. But yeah, I'm picking up exactly what Greg was putting down. I was listening very carefully to that radio show, and he's right. I mean, I would urge anybody to go back and listen to it. It sounds like it's somebody that is poised to make some bigger deals to try to capitalize on this window. And here's the thing I found really fascinating. I was looking up yesterday. When the Pirates score at least five runs, lately, they're on a nine-game win streak. You get to five, they've won nine straight games, because since Donnie Kelly took over, this starting staff is the best in baseball. And if you just get enough offense, there's reason to believe that they are the best team in baseball with their record when they score five. It's way too few and far between, but again, nine straight games they've won if they score at least five runs. That's impressive. It's right up there with the best teams in baseball. Small sample size, but it's, I think, an encapsulation of how far yet how close they are.
That's what I said, too. Like, people say you think the Pirates are close. Well, I do, but when I say close, like a huge, impactful bat, just one, I think, would make a giant difference. That's close, but it's also very far away, because where and how do you get that bat, let alone two of them?
And it's not going to be through free agency, and nor should it be. They've failed abjectly, I guess, in developing. And so now moving pieces around is about the only pathway they have.
Dan, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for taking the time. What time does your show start today?
It starts at 1 o'clock. I said that to you 30 seconds ago.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I was distracted.
Do you listen to anything that I say?
Everything you say, except for that, the little details. But I listen to your Pirate opinions. I think that went over my head. I'm sorry. Did you hear him say that?
You don't need to apologize.
Yes.
Remember you actively engaged me about the time that I had left remaining with you?
I did.
And then where I had to be, what
all
time I
heard was you really didn't have to go yet. That's the only thing I heard. And then I was like, all right, I'm moving on. What do I want to ask him now?
Do you know what, Austin? Here's a podcast idea for you and I.
Okay.
What's Joe's wife's name?
Susie.
Susie.
Let's do an hour-long podcast with Susie where we just sit down and ask all the pressing questions. What's it like? Tell us. Number, are you okay?
Are you happy that Joe golfs every day? What do you get less of Joe during the day?
What is it like?
Susie might answer the way that Dan answered, the seventh rung of hell, the famous quote from Dan. This is what she would say if you asked her, what is life like at home with Joe? Do you have that one, Limits?
Yes, but I need just a second to be able to bring it up.
Yeah.
It's a great idea for a podcast,
I mean,
Dan.
Susie Starkey, in depth, and we talk about nothing but you. That would be wild. That would be amazing content.
Yeah, her and Ron used to commiserate over me, although she doesn't allow me to sing or do any of my yawns, anything. They're all outlawed in the house.
What does she do? I mean, does she throw something at you? Does she yell at you?
She gave me, there's a video where I did my yawn, and she turns around and gives me the finger, and that was the end of that.
We'd bring Ron out of retirement to join us on the podcast.
That would be fantastic. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
Awkward silence.
I guess Limits is still searching for that.
It was named something weird.
We've lost the moment, Limits. We've lost the moment
on
this.
It was named something weird.
Dan, you're a wonderful man, and we look forward to you previewing this game.
It's going to be a good one. Should be a good ball game, as Parada would say.
Let me ask you that on the way out. My God, how can we overlook? This is one of the matchups of the year in Major League Baseball.
I mean, we were all clamoring for Skeen Scoobal last week. This is worth the wait. It's better. 6'7", he throws 100 to his slider. This Mizorowski kid,
yeah.
The slider is 95 miles an hour. His slider.
We could see a double no-hitter today.
That would be wild, wouldn't it?
I can't wait to watch this. I'm going right home and watching it.
How about Skeens? Okay, June, a 101 ERA.
What's his record?
0-1.
That is incredible.
Go
his
to
batting
hell,
average
Mulsey.
Against Joe in June. His batting average against, what do you think?
110?
136.
Wow.
He's 0-1.
That might be the most incredible stat in baseball history.
0-1 with a 1.01 ERA. He's given up 3 earned runs in 26 and 2/3. A 1.36 batting average against. He's 0-1. Now, I will say this. Pirates collectively have won 4 of his last 5 starts. They're up to 500 in the 16 starts that he's made. They're 8-8. So it's not like they've lost 2/3 of the games.
Yeah. It's getting, I suppose, marginally better.
Go to hell, Mulsey.
Thank you. So there was one under hell, yes?
There was, yes.
I wonder why I told Mulsey that. It could have been for an infinite number of reasons.
I don't know. It's from last summer. It's in here.
Hmm.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Joe, I have a horrible thing to report.
No Cabali?
Well, he will be on, but he has not appeared on the video yet. And I texted him.
I don't care about that. It's probably better that he doesn't.
And I said, Mark, 2 minutes, Mark? And I have not heard from him.
What's going on with Caitlin Clark? As you know, the only teams left for me as a fan are sometimes the Bills, at least in the playoffs.
Sometimes.
Because
always the Bills.
Not really always. I'm angry at them a lot of times from my childhood. The Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Fever. I have never seen Caitlin Clark play this bad. It's unbelievable. I watched her last night. I can't believe what I'm watching. She's up around 7 and 8 turnovers every game, and she can't shoot suddenly. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I'm astounded by this limits. I know you don't watch WNBA, do you? Or do you? I don't want to make any presumptions about you.
I follow what Caitlin Clark does.
Listen to this. On this 3-game West Coast trip, including she went to the house of Steph Curry, and that's the player she reminds me of most in the NBA, she was 1 for 23 from 3-point range. 1 for 23. She was chucking the ball off the side of the backboard last night.
Ugh.
I'm not exaggerating. I was like, what's happening? So she's 1 for 23 from 3-point range in those 3 games, and she made 22 turnovers. That's as bad as she has ever played, I guarantee you, in her life, going back to 6 years old. And I'm wondering, here's my theory. See what you think about this, Limits. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
She went and made herself a lot stronger. It seemed like that was the focus of her offseason. I'm going to get a lot stronger, pound the weights, it seemed. Her body looks different. I wonder sometimes if you're not doing the exact right things, if weightlifting is something you should be doing when you're a shooter like that. Like, Steph Curry made himself stronger, but he's not exactly like a bodybuilder. You know what I mean?
No. Sometimes
that can work against you.
I agree.
When you're a shooter like that. That's just a theory. That's just a theory. Come on. 1 for 23 for Caitlin Clark throwing balls off the side of the backboard? She wasn't even close last night. 1 3-pointer and 22 turnovers in the last 3 games.
Yeah,
I'm astounded by it.
That's odd. I mean, all players go into some slumps, but that seems like an exaggerate, like a huge type of slump when you're 1 for 23 and you're as good as Caitlin Clark is, the Steph Curry of women's basketball, the greatest player in all of women's basketball. So the way that I kind of look at it is in terms of the weightlifting that you brought up, do you think that affected her early season performance though? Because before she got hurt, she was still putting up like 23, 25 points.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Limits, because she also had her problems there. Which you would know if you watch the Fever as obsessively as I do.
And I don't, so I'm glad you can inform me.
She had an unbelievable return from injury game, but she started her season. She had an 0-for-5 game and a 2-for-11 game. I mean, this is unheard of stuff. But I've talked enough about that, and I've kept Mark Cabali waiting.
No, you haven't.
Where is he?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You said he was on the line, but not on video.
No, I said that he was supposed to be on video, and he's supposed to be connecting to it there. I texted Mark and I said, well, at 10:30, let's do video. He said, what time? And I said, 12:40 to 1:30.
I don't care anymore. I don't care. We're going straight into our quarter century series. Today's topic. Are you ready for this, Lemons?
I'm ready. God bless you.
God bless me. The five greatest moments in Pittsburgh sports, and this is different from games. I don't want you to get bogged down in games limits. For example, the wild card game was a game, correct? Reds, Pirates.
Yes.
A moment from the game would be Russell Martin off Cueto.
Okay.
Okay? 13-9 was not a moment. It was a game. I'm a little worried about you in this because earlier today you didn't understand the difference between talent and production.
No, I think that the way that it was phrased made me confused based on what you meant.
No, it was very clear, I thought. I'm a little bit concerned about this. So I need from you, from me, from both of us, the five greatest moments in Pittsburgh sports in this quarter century. Everybody's doing it. Why shouldn't we? Would you agree on that?
We should. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, we should. And we shall. And I'm going to give you my four obvious ones right off the cuff. Are you ready?
Yes.
You should be. Man, do I put that one in here?
I have some good ones.
I've got five moments. All right. The Santonio Holmes catch, the bend throw, however you want to look at that. That's one.
I have that number one as well.
I mean, I don't know that I have these in order. Number two, the James Harrison interception, which might actually be number one. I don't have these in order yet, okay?
Okay.
The Santonio Holmes catch, the James Harrison interception.
Yep.
The Russell Martin homer off Cueto.
Yep.
DeJuan Blair snapping Hashim Thabeet in half like he was a twig, like he was a small stick, and Mario's goal in his comeback game early on against the Maple Leafs that night, that fateful night of his comeback, which some people would say because it was the year 2000 doesn't count in this quarter century, but we've stipulated that it does. I know there's 100 others, but those are my five. What are yours?
Could I give you two more
Wrong.
That you left out?
Of course, I could give myself 10
so
more.
So I had Ben DeSantonio, as I put this together in the last 30 seconds. James Harrison.
Oh, I forgot one. I forgot one.
Fleury's save in game seven.
Oh,
against,
my God.
That's what I was just going to say first.
Oh, my God.
Bat.
Oh,
Fleury
my God.
Game seven in Detroit.
And then Troy Polamalu's interception in the eight. That's why these things are so hard.
What about Randall
it's happening again.
Ward in Super Bowl 40?
I know about that one. I can't include everything, Limits. You put your list out there, and then I'll start questioning you. What do you have?
I have Ben DeSantonio. This is in no particular order yet.
I know.
Ben DeSantonio, James Harrison's pick six.
Yes.
Russell Martin off Cueto.
Yeah.
Fleury's save, and Troy's interception in the 2008.
Troy's interception in 2008 has to be on the list. And the Fleury save has to be. All right, so what
save.
Do I take out? What do I take out?
Take out Blair against the Beat.
I did already, and I put in Troy's interception.
Okay, take out Mario's goal in the comeback game.
It was Mario Lemieux, for God's sake. See, with 3.5 years not playing, he comes back like a ghost, like an apparition wearing number 66. It was easily the biggest sports moment of this quarter century for me.
You can't take Russell Martin off Cueto out.
I'm
if
not.
If you're including dropping the ball and the home run, the kid
why do
right
I still
after?
Have a sinus headache after I took the whole round of antibiotics? I still have a sinus headache.
Haven't you had a sinus headache for like the last 3 months?
Yes. What's wrong? I took the whole round, and now I still, when I cough, it hurts my head. When I bend over to get the golf ball and things like that, there's pain. Why is this happening?
I don't know. You're the doctor, Dr. Cornelius.
I have to go to the doctor again.
Would you like to ask Cavalli what's wrong with you?
No, don't have him on yet. He's late.
Well,
the Fleury save has to be in here. It has to be.
Yeah.
So what are yours?
I agree. Again, Ben DeSantonio.
Yep.
James Harrison pick six.
Yep.
Russell Martin off Cueto.
Yep.
Fleury save. Troy Polamalu intercepted 2008 AFC Championship.
So no Mario goal against the Leafs.
Well, and maybe this is just due to my own ignorance, where I was not even born yet at that point, and I don't understand the true significance of it. I'll admit that. I understand the full significance of it?
It's a guy who retired and was gone and long forgotten, practically. Well, not really long forgotten. That's not the way to phrase that. He was gone and thought never to be heard from again on the ice.
Yes.
Imagine Ben. It's been about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Imagine Ben, granted at a little younger age, suddenly trotting back onto the field for the Steelers.
You're like Andrew Luck right now coming out of retirement and
yes,
playing for the Colts.
But this is Mario.
Right.
So even those two examples aren't on that level. And there he was, number 66. What? Are you kidding me?
Like if the current
and then
Lions,
he scores early in the game.
If the current Lions were good and Barry Sanders
yes,
decided to come out of retirement
after
play
3.5 years. That's exactly right.
Okay. Man.
How are you, big boy?
That's tough.
What's up, Joey?
Not much. You?
Much. You seem angry today.
I'm angry at a couple of things. I can never whittle down these moments of the quarter century down to five. And I also have I had a sinus infection that I took an entire round of antibiotics. And while it's much better, there are still major problems. And that's making me angry. Plus, I'm usually angry just when I see you.
Hmm.
What does your shirt say?
I don't know. It was on the ground here, so I picked it up and put it on. You're my nightmare.
That is a great line.
Were you not wearing a shirt, Mark?
What, do you just
this?
Walk by pieces of clothing and put them on? Was it inside your house, I hope, or out on the street?
It was inside my house. I was sitting on the couch. I'm like, oh, man, I got to go on with Joe.
What does it say, Limits? What does this sweatshirt say?
Nightmare.
Is that a Christian Okoye shirt?
No,
what is it?
What's that goofy movie called? Nightmare in Elm Street. Not Nightmare in Elm Street. Nightmare, whatever. I don't know, brother.
Okay. Did you ever play Tecmo Bowl?
Me?
Yeah.
The original Tecmo Bowl. Absolutely. Not the Super Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, original. With Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen. I was a lot of times Indianapolis for some reason. I was Dean Biasucci. And remember Dean Biasucci?
Was Dickerson kicker on that team? Peyton Manning?
Yeah, Dickerson was good. Cowboys, Herschel Walker. The cheap play with the 49ers.
I used that cheap play. It was the only time I ever got in a fist fight with my brother. Because I kept...
You know what? I was a lot of times the Giants, and I was always LT.
LT, yeah. He was amazing.
Yeah. Four plays to choose from.
So, yep. Yeah, that was... What a game. So, we're trying to pick the five greatest moments of the quarter century in Pittsburgh sports. Not games. Okay? So, the Steelers-Seahawks or Steelers-Cardinals was a game... Moments, singular moments. Limits and I agree on Santonio Holmes' catch,
yep.
Russell Martin's homer off Cueto, James Harrison's pick, Troy Polamalu's pick in the AFC title game, and Marc-Andre Fleury's save in Game 7. Is that where we're at, Limits?
Yeah, people on the text line also throwing Ben's tackle against the Colts out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The
fake slide
from Kenny Pickett.
Oh, my God.
Multiple other people saying Randall Hines has to be in there. Max Talbot shushing the crowd.
I was going to say Max Talbot. That has to be up there. It wasn't a huge play, so to speak, but it's one you're always going to remember, right?
I know, but which one do you take off?
That's why you make the big bucks, Joe.
Well, you make them too. I'm asking you, what are your top
five?
It's
the Joe Starkey show where pomp is not around, so this is decisions for you.
You're the guest of honor. Give us your top five Steeler moments of the quarter century. Go ahead.
The two Arizona games were huge. The Super Bowl games, I'm saying.
Those are games, not moments.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about Santonio Holmes and James Harrison, who runs not going to soon forget.
And Troy's interception, clearly, right?
Yeah, Troy's interception. Just trying to think.
Antonio Brown's immaculate extension.
That would be a good pick.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That would be a great pick, wouldn't it, Limits?
Were you at the game, Mark, when Antonio Brown against the Miami Dolphins had like this? They had this miraculous end around, pass it around, and then he stepped out of bounds at like the 11.
Yes, I was there. It was very darn close, right?
I was there.
It had to be a toenail.
He was there.
Almost out of bounds. That's stuff that's is very subjective, Joe. Very subjective.
Yes, that's why I'm asking you for your subjective opinion.
I mean, first of all, for it to be a big moment, it probably has to be a big game, right?
Those two have to pretty much go hand in hand. Pretty much.
So I'm not going to say.
I mean, unless you had like the band is on the field situation or something like that. Yeah. You know?
What about the moment? You were looking at Mike Tomlin stepping on the field, right?
Oh, was that a memorable moment? Oh, Limitless Wonder.
Yeah, Jacoby Jones.
Were you alive for that?
I was, yes.
Yeah.
That one's up there as a memorable moment, although it doesn't really make it. Anyway, forget about that. Aaron Rodgers has spoken from yesterday.
Yep.
What do you make of what was the most notable thing he said to you? Do you believe it? Do you believe it that this is his last year, no matter what? Or is there a little bit of doubt there?
I'm pretty much believing. I mean, everything in that conversation at 45 minutes, he seemed as sincere as there can be. I didn't pick up any sense of him just, you know, playing to the crowd, playing to the, you know, Steelers fan base, or saying stuff PR wise that make him look better. It seemed like he was just a genuinely honest guy, and I don't know why he would lie for something like that. So no, I pretty much believe it is a one and done type of situation for him here. And you know, you can take that for what it's worth. People say, well, that's very selfish of him. He's just like, I have a farewell tour. I pretty much look at it as, you know, game seven of a playoff series, right? Do or die. There is no tomorrow for you, man. There's nothing. So you better be on your P's and Q's the entire season, or you're going to be missing out. You know, you have no wiggle room. There's no, okay, I'll get him next. There's only one more time you're running out of that locker room or the tunnel for a week one game. There's only one time you're going to training camp. So I think that could be something that could be beneficial for him, knowing this is, you know, this is it. I mean, this is the end here. And I liked what he said. I mean, he came across as a very smart, intellectual, sincere guy that's done his homework, knows his history, and he said everything right, man. If there's something he said wrong, point it out to me. There's nothing he said to say, boy, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, not one thing.
Limits, the thought of leaving you out of this conversation leaves me heartbroken.
Mark, earlier today, Crowley said that he is willing to give Rodgers the benefit of the doubt, that he is truly committed and he's ready to go. Do you fall in lockstep with what Crowley's saying? I tend to be on Crowley's side here.
Crowley took it to the point of people should be apologizing to Aaron Rodgers. And my point, oh, Limitless Wonder, is all the guy's done is show up for work on time and act normal. I don't know. Let's see when the season starts before I start heaping out praise.
Yeah, but you know, that's half the battle nowadays, Joe. Being normal and showing up to practice, a lot of people just don't do that. I mean, especially with somebody of
really, because 31 of 32 quarterbacks showed up for voluntary OTAs. Well, only one didn't.
A lot of people figured, had one thought in your mind of how he was going to be. It was going to be all about him. It was going to be the Aaron Rodgers show. And so far, that seems to me like that's not going to be the case. Now, that does not mean one thing about when the season starts, if he can still throw the ball down the field and still picks the right guy to throw to. And, you know, that's a still huge chunk of this all, right? But I don't think he's looking for anybody to apologize for him. But everything that we thought he was or was told he was, he at least has not shown that yet.
No,
I don't know if he will.
I never thought he was going to show up like and be like fighting people or making hugely controversial statements or anything like that at minicamp. I don't. All he's done is what is normal, and I think what most people thought would happen. He showed up for mandatory mini camp. He acted normal. He went over to Mike Tomlin's house for what do you think the people who criticize Aaron Rodgers thought would happen?
I'm taking over the offense. This is my team.
At mandatory mini camp?
you know what, forget about Will Howard. I'm worrying about getting mine. I don't care if he needs it. I mean, Joe Flacco,
people thought he was a week ago. What?
He's not going to help anybody out, right?
Joe Flacco?
And Flacco said he wasn't going to help out Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders in Cleveland. Ben, when he come here, is very well known that he didn't want Mason here. So, I mean, at least he's going through the motions, right?
yes. Talk about giving a guy credit for the bare minimum here. All right.
You don't think it's the bare minimum? I mean, he could have come out and just said nothing and just was a total clown. He knows the history. He rattled off literally every single player on that team, other than maybe Caleb Johnson, over a span of knowing him for about 2 minutes, right? He's doing some homework here.
All right.
Right?
I guess he knows his teammates. That's good.
I mean, he could have He could have came in and said,
I don't care. I don't think nobody thought that was going to happen.
A lot of people thought
he was going to walk in and say, I don't care. The backup quarterbacks can go F themselves. I don't care about anything. I'm running the show here. Nobody thought that was going to happen.
I think people came in and thought he was going to be a big distraction, a big idiot, a guy that's just going to come in and worry about himself. I think a lot of people thought that was what he was going to act like.
I don't think anybody thought that would happen at mini camp.
Limits
is on your side, and so is Crowley, who is groveling on Rodgers right now. He's probably sending him an apology note. Where do you get cards these days? Limits, Rite Aid. Where else can you get a card?
CVS, sports cards, at the baseball card castle.
No, I'm talking about an apology letter. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Go to the Hallmark store.
The Hallmark store.
Wow, Cavalli, not a fan of the Hallmark store. He is throwing cold water on the Hallmark store.
No, you go somewhere where it's 99-cent card because, you know.
Dollar Tree.
What do you do when you get cards? You look at it for 2 seconds and throw it in the trash.
No, I put it on my mantle for like a couple of weeks, and then you throw it away.
Then what do you do with it?
You want to know a weird thing about me, Joe, which there are a lot of?
What?
I have kept my Christmas cards from like my grandparents and from like aunts and uncles, and I have them in a box in my room.
Somebody says go see an ENT doctor as soon as you can. You might need to have your sinuses drained. Now I can't think about anything but that. I have to go. Can you do this hour?
Don't go.
Yeah, I could do the hour with Cavalli.
Should I get my sinuses drained?
A texter says, I sold antibiotics for sinuses. Tell Joe he needs a something antibiotics. Others won't do much. Why? You know what? One thing I don't understand, Cavalli. Why do the pharmacists make these words for antibiotics and prescriptions like 12 to 25 letters that nobody can pronounce?
Don't make fun of pharmacists, Limits.
I'm not, but I'm asking them a question. Why do they make this?
The pharmacists don't do that.
Why are you blaming the pharmacists for this?
The person that texted in said this thing is called fluoquinolone. What? Why do we need 15 letters in these words?
That's the name of it. What do you want them
Why
to
can't
do?
We call it like flu medication or something?
We could.
What's it again, Limits? Because I think you're really messing this up.
I don't
up.
Want him to hear him say that
again.
I probably am,
but I'm not going to say it again.
Hey, so Joe, you know what they wanted to do to me?
What?
They wanted to shove a balloon up my nose into my ear canal, then inflate it. I said, okay, we'll set this up, and it never came back.
What happened? Why did that happen?
Because my ear kept cracking because of, I don't know why. I said, my ear's cracking.
I got to go.
They shove it up your nose and inflate it, man.
Yes, everything's happening. I told you what was happening, Limits. And now this guy's telling me, oh, my God.
And
you can't even get it. It's my phone.
It's Bob Pompiani just texted me.
Bob Pompiani reporting for duty saying Joe Starkey needs to go to the doctor.
Every time Cabali's phone rings like that, an angel gets its wings.
Pomp can be text me, but he can't be on his own show, huh?
No, he's too busy these days.
He's texting you right now?
Yes, it said Bob Pompiani.
What was the text?
Showdown? Question mark.
Oh,
about Showdown.
So he doesn't ask me, but he asks you during my show that he's not on.
He says every time you go on, you back out in the last minute.
I'm trying to replace Joe. I'm trying to overthrow Joe to be on the Showdown, Cavalli. How do you feel about
that? He said I can come on whenever I want. I don't want to go on there. I'm old and bald, and plus it's right in the middle.
You're not bald.
It's in the middle of dinner on Sunday nights. It's just ridiculous.
And you got sinus problems.
And I have sinus problems. You can't get an appointment with an ENT on this short of notice. Jeez. Now what happens if I pass out here? Limits. What are you doing back there?
I received an email from somebody very important in the building I had to look at.
Does that mean we have to go?
Yes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.